It is easy to be established in the Word of God. Amen. The key to establishment is one key, all right, but has two sides. The first side is called meditation in the Word. Then the second side is called acting on the Word. Can we say that together? Meditation in the Word and acting on the Word. Amen. So the first side is meditation in or on the Word, and then as acting on the Word. Acting on the Word is doing the Word. Now, if you want to be established in the Word of God, those are the two things you need to continually do. Amen. By grace, through faith. Can someone say amen to that? So you meditate in the Word of God day and night. So meditation in God's Word is God's way of getting us rooted in the Word of God, such that we take roots downwards and bear fruit upward. Meditation in the Word. So we put our heart and gaze on God's Word and meditate. The day and night frequency must be observed carefully and meticulously. And we must not break the cycle of meditation. Praise God. The moment we keep at it continually, then we begin to act on God's Word. And as we act on God's Word, we're established in the Word of God. And that establishment brings about fruitfulness. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. We are fruitful. We begin to abound in all good things. So meditation and acting on the Word. So let's look at what meditation is according to God's Word. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now you see that expression again, day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So, meditation in the Word. You meditate therein in the Word of God day and night. So, Christian meditation starts with muttering the Word to yourself. You mutter God's Word to yourself, and you mutter it and say it and say it. That's what it means to start the process of meditation. Now, to meditate literally simply means to think upon something deeply, deeply. It means to cogitate. So meditation is cogitation. Meditation simply means to think upon something deeply. But biblical meditation or scriptural meditation starts at the point of muttering God's Word to yourself. When you mutter it to yourself, that is when you begin to meditate in the Word of God. So meditation simply means that your word, the Word of God, is on your lips, and then you're saying it to yourself. And as you say it to yourself, what happens? Your mind comes under the influence of what you're saying. And then your mind starts thinking on what you're saying. So biblical meditation simply means thinking on what your mouth is saying. Thinking on what your mouth is saying. Now, the Word of God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It does not say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy thinking or out of thy mind, but out of thy mouth. So mouth is actually the key to meditation, confession of God's Word. And not confessing it out loud to start with, but muttering God's Word to yourself. And that's what meditation is, Christian meditation. Now, Eastern meditation starts with just blanking your mind, and then you empty your mind of thoughts, and they say, take a deep breath. And then you're not thinking about anything, and then you take a deep breath, and you just blank your mind. That's demonic. That's not the Bible. Christian meditation is not blanking your mind or emptying your mind of thoughts. Christian meditation is actually filling your mind with thoughts. But those thoughts are not thoughts as original thoughts, as in thoughts. Praise God. They are transformed thoughts. Transformed thoughts. Can we say that together? Louder, louder. Transformed thoughts. Now, there's what we call initial or original thought, which is you pick a thought, you pick an idea, just pick it up, and you start thinking on that idea. Okay? That is Eastern meditation. It is not Christian or biblical or scriptural meditation. Are we together? All right. So you don't start with a thought. You start with a word. You start with muttering the word. Are we together? So you start with a word. For example, meditating on Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on now. I shall not want. Can we meditate on that together? Now, see the way people meditate. When they are meditating, the mouth is shut. Shut up. Amen. And then your eyes are open. And then they begin to read. And they shut their eyes and meditate. Amen. That is unchristianly. It is against the order of Christian meditation. You don't shut your eyes and meditate on thoughts literally and originally. You actually meditate on transformed thoughts. Words that have become common now, thoughts. Hello. All right. So you cannot truly start the process of meditation according to God's word with your mouth shut. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy, out of thy, I can't hear you, out of thy, I can't hear you, out of thy, I can't hear you, out of thy. So your mouth first. And then it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know, the Bible could have recorded it this way. This book of the law shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. So that leaves it in the realm of thoughts. But it says, to start the process of meditation, the first thing to do is to start saying the word to yourself. You say the word to yourself and say it again and say it again and say it again until your mind captures what you are saying and comes under the influence of your words. That's Christian meditation. The moment you start that way, all right, all the forces of God's kingdom will be supplied to back up your meditation. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So let's meditate. Do you know why some people don't meditate on God's word? Some of us thought we had been meditating on God's word up until this moment. Some of us just discovered that we've not been meditating on the word. Amen? So meditate on Psalm 23 and verse 1. Quickly, 23:1. 1, 2, 3, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Once again. Okay, now say it out loud. Come on now. The Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd.
One more time.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall
now on your own, meditate. Okay, good, good. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, when you see Muslims meditating, okay, there's what they call the tasbih, all right? And they hold it to count. They say the same thing like 100 times. All right, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, all right? And they keep saying that. They are meditating on forgiveness, so to speak. Are we together? All right. They learned that from Judaism, because Islam is very much related to Judaism. In fact, it's just a copy of Judaism, and then some things altered. They removed, you know, the prophet, the core prophets from it, and made the core prophet the other person. Praise God. Are you from saying here? Okay. But if you see a Jew who is meditating on God's word, the Jew will sit down flat on the floor or on the mat, and then the mouth, the lips are shaking. All right. Now, some of them will memorize the entire Torah, and then they will pick a particular portion of the Torah. That's the five books of Moses, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, right? All right. So they will start from a particular book, maybe Exodus or Deuteronomy, and they start saying it, muttering it to themselves. And when you say that long enough, all right, your mind comes under the influence of the words that you've been confessing. Can someone say amen to that? The moment your mind comes under that influence, what happens is this. You begin to think what you are saying. The moment your thought is apart from what you are saying, it is no longer meditation. Amen?
Amen.
If your thought is actually thinking what people are saying around you, it is not meditation. According to God's word, it can lead to worry or anxiety. Hello. So you're meditating on the word. Give me time so that I don't overshoot my time. Time. Amen. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. So you meditate. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who is your shepherd? Come on now. Because the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Glory to God. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Someone says, well, are you making any sense out of it? If you are not making sense out of it, you know what it means. Praise God. You have not meditated long enough. Sometimes to crack the inertia of the mind could be very stubborn. Try to meditate on God's word. Say one thing for 100 times. You get tired. Sometimes your mind is going, go and carry that thing. You have not washed your clothes. You know, walk. Okay? So your mind is wandering. Sometimes the first 15 minutes of meditation is to bring your mind back to that place called the place of alignment with the word. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. And the most effective spiritual exercise for transformation is meditation. If you want to change levels fast, you will grow like from a dwarf to a giant. Amen?
Amen.
When you learn to meditate in God's word, pow, your growth will skyrocket. Amen? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You can go into meditation and come out another man.
Yes,
one man went in, another man came out.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you learn to meditate in the word, amen?
Amen.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Your spiritual nature, that born again nature, eternal life, will fill your whole being such that you'll be supposed for a superman. I'm telling you, meditation is the easiest and the fastest, quickest way to change levels. Pa, 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 pa. Amen. Most of the time, the reason why people don't do the word is because they don't meditate in the word of God regularly. The moment you start meditating on God's word consistently, continually, you become an ardent doer of the word. It says that thou mayest observe, come on now, to do. So he didn't say try to do the word to start with. He says meditate on God's word to start with. And then you will get to the point where you know the value of God's word, the weight of God's word dawns on your spirit. Amen? And then you become a natural doer of the word. Just leave out the word, act on the word. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Simple. So meditation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can we meditate on Psalm 27? 27 and verse 1. 27, 1. Quickly. Amen. Out loud, come on now. Good. So the value and the weight of your confession of faith is actually rooted in your meditation. The meditation of God's word. Amen. Sometimes people say, I'm blessed, but it's not weighty in them. But somebody who is meditative in God's word says, I'm blessed, and he understands the weight of it. So when you say things out loud and they go into the realm of the spirit, amen, demons know where they are coming from. Forces of darkness know where they are coming from. And they look at it and say, that one is weighty. It's coming from what? Understanding. Because meditation will lead you to understanding. That is what determines your depth in spiritual things. Amen?
Amen?
So when the wind of life is blowing, all right, what will make the difference is weight. If you are weighty, it will not, if it just blow on you, it's just going to be ventilation. But if you're not weighty, it carries you away. God forbid. Amen? So what determines weight in the things of the spirit is understanding. And what determines understanding is meditation. Depth is a function of meditation. Meditation is digging deep into God's word, the root of it. Deep within you, such that you now settle your life on the word. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
That's what it is. So Jesus died for me. Someone says, Jesus died for me. Say, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. And then another person says, Jesus died for me. Oh, it is weighty deep within, like, my God. So death has no power over me. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Because Jesus what? Died for me. When someone says, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. So, you see, saying something is one thing. Understanding the implication of what you're saying is another. Amen?
Amen?
So when you have understanding as a result of meditation, this is what's going to happen. You'll come to a place where when you say something, all right, you're not just saying it and repeating it anymore because you've meditated on it, and now you have gained understanding of what you've meditated upon. Amen?
Amen.
You will now start saying the implication of that literal sentence or statement. Implication. So Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Understanding says he took my place, right? And he died my death. So death can't kill me anymore. That's understanding. So implicative thinking is actually a function of what? Understanding. It's simple. Amen? So you see, Esau didn't know the value of the birthright. Jacob knew it. Because he would sit down at home and meditate and hear those words and meditate. So he understood the value of the birthright. Can you imagine Jacob telling his brother, his twin brother, Esau? He said, look, I will give you food. Give me your birthright. All right? It's just like somebody coming to you and say, give me your destiny. I'll buy you a car. A Mercedes-Benz. Say, what is destiny to me? Give me a car, Joe. Do you know it takes understanding to know the value of spiritual things. Amen.
Amen.
So meditation. Meditation. And you see, meditation, what it does is, it's meditation will give your imagination and proactive cognitive abilities strength and might to start thinking and knowing the implications of things before you do them. If you are meditative, look at Joseph. Amen. Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, said, "Come and lie with me. Your master is not at home." Amen. Do you know implicative thinking? Shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Hello. In other words, he was thinking about the dream he had that God gave him. He was thinking about the future of Israel. Implicative thinking is born out of understanding. Amen. Now, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. And he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a moment. It's called implicative thinking. You look at it, someone says, take bribe. Look at the implication of it. If you are not meditative enough, you may take it and say, "I will repent later." Amen. Thank God for repentance. But there are some things that repentance can handle, and there are some things repentance cannot handle. I will tell you, God forgives always. Hello? But there are certain things you may not be able to enter into anymore. Ask David, he will tell you. His hand was soiled with blood. It wasn't blood out of war, per se. Are you what I'm saying here?
Yes,
he killed that man, the young man, Uriah, right?
Yes,
the husband of Bathsheba. And his hand was soiled with blood. God said, "It has been your dream to build me a house, but you are unfit, disqualified to build me a house. Solomon will do it." Do you know God forgave him and caught a covenant with him of the sure mercies of David? But that didn't cure that thing, no. Esau, when he saw it, like, "Hey, what have I done?" And he wept sore. He wanted the birthright back, but it was too late. Do you know that he still was fine, it was okay, you know, God blessed him, right? Uh-huh. Well, he couldn't get that anymore. And that's why it is important, hear this very carefully. Amen. There are certain things you don't do. Amen.
Amen.
It is not everything forgiveness can fix. Do you know that when Judas knew that, I sold my master for 30 pieces of silver? How? Hello? Do you know that he just couldn't come back anymore? He had to go and get a gallows somewhere, you know, and then he died. Praise God. Amen. His bishopric another took. So when it comes to understanding, gain understanding early in life so that your destiny is not reduced to 60% instead of 100%. It is good you gain understanding in life. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you know that if Saul of Kish had been meditative enough, he would have discovered that this instruction to go and kill the Amalekites and destroy all of them that God gave him, all right, there had been an altar securing this destruction that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had built when God said, "I'll fight against the Amalekites from generation toward generation." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, built an altar and called the name of the altar, come on now, Jehovah Nissi. Why? For the Lord had said he will fight against Amalek from generation toward generation. Something that an altar had been built for as a foundation, an instruction that has an altar as its foundation, you are refuting it. God said, I can't stand this man. I've rejected him. Amen. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Understanding is a wellspring of life to those who have it. So understanding is something you must gain and acquire and keep. Meditation is the key to it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, something happened one time. There was a young man. He had every opportunity. He was the only one at work at the time, you know, and a young secretary lady, and they were talking and all that, and the opportunity came to play. So he had removed his trousers and his boxer, all right? And all of a sudden, he thought about the implication. He said, this thing that I'm about to do, all right, is going to affect my marriage. It's going to affect my future. It's going to affect everything about me. All right? Do you know that understanding can come upon you and lust, the power of lust is broken? Do you know he wore his boxers back? Wore his trousers? Amen. He told the lady, dress up. We're not doing it anymore. Praise God. She said, why? I'm already ready. I'm on. I'm high. He said, calm down. This cannot happen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Meditation will give you understanding in life. Be meditative. I would rather have you meditate more than you pray than to pray more than you meditate. Because your prayer without meditation is lightweight, light feather prayer. Amen. Meditation is key. It will help you. Sometimes you just look at the prodigal son. Amen. Had suffered and suffered in a strange and distant land away from his father. Amen. The day he just had an understanding, he came to himself. That day, he said, I'm going back home. See, understanding will preserve you. You feel like, what am I doing here? I'm going back home. Maybe he had been praying without understanding, and nothing happened. But the day understanding came, everything changed. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Be thoughtful. Sometimes we spend more because we're not meditative enough. No planning, no budgeting, no thoughtfulness. The money came, breakthrough, and you just took a hose, started spraying it around. Amen. If you were thoughtful, you would have said, no, I'm not going to spend this way. I'll spend this, I'll do this, I'll do. Sometimes you think through it again and say, you cut 10% waste off. You think through it again and pray through it again, another 20%. Amen.
Amen.
You can just say your money has come and then you just, all the shopping mall around here, you just buy big things there. Instead of going to Ikwedumota, if you are thoughtful enough, you will go there. I'm telling you the truth. You will call somebody, you have a network of someone in Ibadan and say, let me get a basket of tomato there. Huh? And send it. The three of us will share it. We just go and buy, how much is that one? It says 2.5. Give me, I'm blessed. Thoughtfulness. When you are meditative, all right, you cut waste. Glory to God. Think through it. Pray through it. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
So meditation gives you the leverage of what? Understanding. Turn to your neighbor, say meditation in the word of God gives you the leverage of understanding. Turn to another person and say, meditation in the word gives you the leverage of understanding. Amen. Let's be upstanding. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed?
Right,
simple. So you're going to pray, Lord,